Hey everybody, welcome to another edition of The Journey of Hope. Glad you could be with us today. The Journey of Hope is a podcast that's especially designed to address the issues that many women face after incarceration. Jan Marquardt is going to be here today, and she's going to be talking to us about using writing as a therapeutic tool, something to help us get rid and deal with things that have happened to us in the past through writing, and she's going to tell us how to do that. This is a really cool show. Jan Marquardt, right after this. I'm Rodney Mathers, and you're on The Journey of Hope. Hey, drop me a line. Mathers Rodney at yahoo.com, MathersRodney at yahoo.com. Love to hear from you. This time, I really let myself astray. Runaway train, never going back. Wrong way on a one-way track. Seems like I should be getting some. Hey everybody, and welcome back. My guest today is Jan Marquardt. Jan has written several books and is a licensed clinical social worker. She's likes to work with people who have depression, anxiety, stress, chronic illness, PTSD, and just general sense of powerlessness. Something a lot of us that listen to the show can relate to. Jan, welcome to The Journey of Hope.
Thank you very much.
Can you start off by giving us a little bit of your background and just tell us a little bit about yourself?
Well, let's see. I have been a daily writer since 1972, and I started becoming a counselor in 1979, got my license in the early 80s, and I've been a psychotherapist ever since. So I've been doing a lot of writing and have interwoven that in with the therapy sessions that I do with people when they're interested in using writing as a tool. And I found both in my own life and working with other people that writing is very valuable as a healing tool, especially overcoming post-traumatic stress symptoms, so I do work around that. Let's see, what else would you like to know?
Well, that's about where I wanted to get to, because I wanted to ask you, it sounds like, and I have had this personal experience myself where writing is like this cathartic kind of experience. It can be. And you use it to address things like PTSD. Tell me how that works. I think our listeners would be interested in just how exactly that works.
In how writing works, you mean?
To be a cathartic experience.
Well, the interesting thing about writing is that when you write, you're totally isolated into your own inner voice. And when you are paying attention and dialoguing with your own inner voice, you hit levels of the truth about who you are that you don't normally get to in everyday conversation, because when you're talking to somebody, you are interacting in a completely different, I think, part of the brain. Because when you're writing, that's why a lot of writers, you know, they have to have a place of seclusion where they write, where they can be silent enough to listen to what's going on inside of them. It's a full body experience. So my experience of how writing heals is that when I am alone and I am totally meditating on this place through writing, and I could be writing about anything, stream of consciousness kind of writing, it drops me deeper into myself. And the interesting thing about this is that when you're writing, if for some reason you want to sidestep the truth, say something is too painful or you don't want to go there, you are automatically alerted, and you are more conscious of it because you're alone with yourself. You have no distractions. You're totally focused on this place. So the minute you start to write something that isn't true, the minute you get to be inauthentic or unauthentic, all the alarms go off. Your nervous system reacts to it, and so you know that you're getting off course. what this does for healing is it brings you back to center. So it also releases impressions, memories, sensations, thoughts, anything that is going to be connected to what you're writing about. So say you're writing about your just stream of consciousness, writing about how you feel for the day, you're warming up writing, and all of a sudden your writing goes to an argument you had with your mom. And all of a sudden that is going back to something that you said that you really didn't want to own was your part of it. So it does this make sense? So the road to writing takes you right back to the heart of who you are, and you can't escape it. It takes you right deep inside yourself, which I have found to be enormously healing.
Jan, let me just interrupt you right there for a second.
Sure.
I can attest to what you're saying as being absolutely true. It's something that I kind of just discovered on my own. When I was incarcerated, I would journal. And I would find that when I wrote things down, I could actually experience the emotion that I felt when a certain event happened, you know? And I think, and from what I get that you're saying, is that bringing that back up is a good thing. But my question is, so what do you do with it then? I mean...
Well, that's a very good question. And this is where a lot of people get stuck. They either decide they don't want to write, or they stop in the middle of writing and they come into a session with me and they're really angry and they're in worse condition because they have stopped the process. So what you have to do is, you know, if you're writing about what happened, say, you know, it could be something you did or something that happened to you. That's only the very first step. And I designed a 6-week intensive course that works people through from the very beginning, where you write about what happened. It could be something you did, as I said, or something that happened to you. And then it carries you through, the 6 weeks carries you through to a place where you're addressing the topic of forgiveness, whether you have to forgive somebody else or yourself or both, and creating a new vision for your life, because you can't just stop with what happened. Then you stay in the mucky muck of the pain and the mental distress and the physical anguish.
Mucky muck. I like that. Okay, now, you do therapy by telephone as well. I mean, right?
Well, I do some long-distance therapy. And these are with old clients that I've had for a while, you know, in another state. But I don't do phone therapy. I will do consultations at times if somebody calls me from another state and they want a consultation, and then I will help them redirect to see a therapist. The writing course I do online.
Okay.
And it is more writing than therapy, but it is therapeutic writing. In other words, I'm not going to give somebody therapeutic sessions, you know, weekly sessions, because I really want to have, when I'm doing that, I want to have somebody in front of me so I can get their body language and the whole energy of the session.
Okay.
But when I do these writing courses online, I will talk on the phone, you know, because I work with, in Europe, I mean, I have, you know, women who have taken this course and they live in Europe, so there's no way I'm going to be able to, you know, fly out there to have a session. But I do the therapeutic writing with them online if they want to, you know, call me to, if they're stuck on something, certainly I'm accessible to help them through that. But it's really more geared toward the writing.
Okay.
Because I really don't want to sell myself as a therapist who does therapy online, because that's really not what I'm doing.
Okay, I was going to ask you if there would be a different approach to therapy online or maybe over the telephone as there would to be in person, but we'll just...
Well, you know, it's a fine line, Rodney. It's really a fine line, because therapeutic writing, you're handling both of them. But, you know, the main focus is to keep them guided through the pen.
Uh-huh.
So that they can work out whatever they're stuck on in the process through the use of their pen. So they're doing some self-help. And a lot of the people that I've been seeing, that I've been working with online, they're also seeing counselors in their own neighborhood.
Okay.
So they don't really need me to do, you know, I can't do hour-long therapeutic sessions. It's basically, it's focused through the pen. I want to keep guiding them to work through their pen.
Okay. Well, is there one of your books that where someone could do like a self-guided practice through the writing?
Yes. Well, I wrote a book called Write to Heal.
Okay.
And that's a 78-page booklet, and it's a very basic primer. It basically gives the whole concept of writing to heal. I have prompts in there. I have some studies that show the effectiveness of writing and healing, and that if you wrote 20 minutes a day for 3 days on an emotional topic, that alone can decrease insomnia, maybe loss of appetite, certain physical symptoms.
Okay.
A couple of my other books, I do have writing prompts in it. A book I wrote, Echoes from the Womb, a book for daughters to help daughters with the anguish that a lot of them feel with their moms. I have a lot of incomplete sentences for them to work through so they could do their own process. I didn't want somebody to just read the book and then put it on the shelf. If they were really that interested, I wanted to help them work through it through writing.
I read this that you said this somewhere. I don't know exactly where I read this, but you said that 60 to 90% of doctor's visits are stress related.
Yes.
How would you address stress through the writing process? Would it be the same sort of thing? Would it be the 6-week course that you offer? How would you do that?
I could do the 6-week course on that, of course. A lot of people have stress and they don't deal with it. And because we're so busy these days, they go to the doctor and they get a pill. And we no longer have the family doctor the way we used to years ago, where they sat down and they asked you about your life, because now insurance companies they give doctors a certain amount of time that they're allowed to give each client. So that makes it very difficult. So when people come to me and they're under a lot of stress, or sometimes they're not even sure why they're here. All they know is they're sitting in front of me, they feel terrible, they're stressed out, they're overworked. And so it's a matter of, exploring what's going on in their marriage, what's going on in their job, are they having trouble with their children, honing down on what, honing in on what is giving them the most stress. And then I start having them write about it. So they write what's happening, what is the stress, what is the problem that they can't handle. And then we work it through from there. And again, it's, the 6-week course that I do. It's pretty effective. I mean, 6 weeks, sometimes I don't have to do all 6 weeks with somebody. I can give them just the 5 steps instead of 6 if they may have covered 2 in 1 writing incident. But for the most part, the 6 weeks is because you don't want to rush the process. And that's what we do a lot in this culture. We want to rush everything. We take a pill so we can feel better, and we never learn how to resolve our problems. And, I always tell people when they come to me and they're on antidepressants, and I ask them why they're on antidepressants, and a lot of it is just a simple life issues that they don't have the time to handle. Mm-hmm. And so they think a pill is going to do it, but the pill doesn't do it. It may really alleviate their anxiety for a little bit, but it doesn't resolve anything.
Mm-hmm.
And, we really need to spend some time, and we were built to learn how to cope and grow and mature and develop. And we can't do that. We're trying to rush the whole process of it.
And so the writing kind of forces you to slow down a little bit, doesn't it?
Yes, it does.
We're going to take a quick break, Jan. I am a firm believer that what you were saying about unresolved issues and not dealing with stress, I just saw this so many times when I was incarcerated. You get to know people. It leads to bad decision making.
Yeah.
And a lot of guys in prison, that I knew, they had unresolved issues from their early years, and they had problems dealing with the stressors in their life, so they'd lean on some sort of an addiction, and I'm just as guilty as they were, so I really like the things you have to say. We're going to take a quick break. Back with more with Jan Marquardt right after this. I'm Rodney Mathers, and you're on The Journey of Hope. We'll be right back. know, the kinds of things that we do in our downtime are so very, very important as ex-offenders. We want to be constructive in our downtime. Our guest today, Jan Marquardt, is talking about using writing as something that could be a constructive use of downtime. I like to play music, and I use something called the Jam Buddy chord chart. The Jam Buddy chord chart has helped me a lot because it's taught me how to play in many different keys, which makes you more viable as a player when you start playing with other people. Now, I'm not very good, but it's helped me. And so you want to check out this Jam Buddy chord chart if you're one of these people that I know that is trying to learn how to play some music, okay? And it works with any instrument. All you got to do is click on the link next to the podcast. It's the Jam Buddy chord chart. And we're back. We're talking with Jan Marquardt today. She's got some excellent ideas on dealing with some of the more negative emotions in our life and feelings that we have, dealing with stress we were talking about before the break. Jan, I want to ask you, would your approach for an ex-offender be different in, say, something like dealing with stress, since we've already thrown that out there? Would it be different than just Joe Q Public if you worked with them in the writing program, your six-week
program?
Not
as far as the process is concerned. As far as the issue they bring to the process, yes. But, you know, when you look at somebody who's been incarcerated, there's a reason for that. And 9 out of 10 times, maybe even 10 out of 10, I would say that those are individuals who have gone through some kind of life trauma.
Mm-hmm.
They've gone through something. And, you know, however that trauma gets redirected, because it is, you know, when we go through trauma, a whole equilibrium in our life is disrupted. And it could make us do crazy things. And, you know, trauma can take away your ability to slow down and think through something. So you just want something to happen quickly and you react.
Mm-hmm.
And I would say that the process would be the same, but the variables would be different. So somebody would bring, you know, somebody who, I mean, you can give me an example, you know, to make it a little bit more concrete, but somebody who has been put in jail, that alone is a trauma.
Absolutely.
You know, that alone is a trauma. So you get a child who's been traumatized. Maybe it's a little boy who was sexually abused. Maybe it was someone who was raised without a father. Maybe it was someone who got into drugs very early on in life. So you have something that happened early, and then they're incarcerated. So now you've got a trauma built on a trauma. It's no different than the guys who go over to Vietnam.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they have something horrible going on here, then they go to Iraq, and, you know, Afghanistan, and then what happens? They have a trauma built on a trauma.
Well, I noticed that you do deal with PTSD as part of your practice, and
yes.
So since you brought it up, Jan, this is something we've been kicking around here on the show for quite a while now. What are your feelings about people coming out of prison with PTSD because of the prison experience?
Well, they certainly need to get help.
Well,
and
wait a minute. I mean, do you even think, some people say that's ridiculous, that would happen.
It's ridiculous for them to get out of jail?
No, ridiculous for them to have symptoms of PTSD coming out of incarceration. I don't. I think it's very real.
Well, I don't see how you cannot have them.
Good. You just got
to
go.
You know, it doesn't make any sense to me that somebody lives a life in prison. Now all of a sudden they're thrown out in the world to, you know, turn over a new leaf and not be traumatized.
I think that a lot of guys coming out of prison have this.
They wind up back there.
I'm not a therapist. I'm not a doctor, an astronaut. Nothing. But it just seems to me that a lot of guys are coming out of prison with PTSD and it's not being dealt with. But one of the things they could do is your 6-week writing program, right? I mean, that's something, yes. Right?
Yes. And they don't have to come to my office, you know, if they're embarrassed or whatever. We could do it online. And you know, in a lot of ways, that is the preferred way, because that way, when people go through PTSD, it's often very difficult to sit in an office and talk about it.
Well, let me ask you this then. Are we ever too far down the road with something like depression that we just can't come back from it? Are we ever too far down the road from, dealing with PTSD or anxiety, or is it ever hopeless?
I don't think healing is hopeless.
Okay.
If that's what you're asking me.
Right.
I know that our minds and our bodies are built to recover. You know, when you get a cut, you don't have to spend time trying to heal it. The body has an innate ability to automatically go into a healing crisis, is what it's called. So your body is automatically thrown into a healing crisis where it starts healing that cut. The same thing with our emotions. It's with anything. If our bodies are made to recover. And what I find with the writing is it's an amazing tool to lean on to actually put the bricks in the road to make a path to recovery. And, you know, you can go to any substance abuse clinic. What do? They all promote journal writing. Mm-hmm. Now, journal writing in the 6-week course I'm talking about is different because the course is more structured. But journal writing is wonderful. I recommend it. I've been doing it every day since June of 1972.
Have you really?
Mm-hmm.
Very interesting. I know some guys that write. I don't think they're getting what they can out of it, though. The thing I think that I would suggest to people is that you give Jan's program a try here, this 6-month deal, and see if you can.
6 weeks.
6 weeks. 6 weeks. I'm sorry. Thank you for correcting me. How do we get a hold of you, and how do we get your books? How does all that work?
Well, my books all my books are on Amazon, but my personal site is janmarquart.com, and that's MARQUART, you know, JANMARQUART.com.
Okay, and your books are on Amazon.
If you want the course, you can go to my author website, which I have, not just me, it's not personal, it's a business website. It's AboutTheAuthorNetwork.com.
Okay.
And you know, there's a place there for resources, and it's called Unveil the Wounded Self, Right to Heal, and the course is listed there.
Okay. Jan Marquart, I think we just scratched the surface here. I wish we could go a little bit more. Time doesn't permit, though. Thank you so much for being here on the Journey of Hope today.
Thank you very much.
We're going to take another quick break. We'll be right back. I'm Rodney Mathers, and you're on the Journey of Hope. Hey y'all, me again. You can always catch me at mathersrodney@yahoo.com. That's mathersrodney@yahoo.com. Don't want to know or really care why you went to prison, but what I want to know is how you're doing since you came home, okay? And if there's any suggestions you have for the show, be sure and pass them along, and we'll definitely take a look at it, okay? It's mathersrodney@yahoo.com. And I want to thank my special guest, Jan Marquardt. And I want to remind you that if God is for you, who can be against you? We'll see you next time right here on The Journey of Hope.